Hey guys, how are you doing? My name is Alex Rubin, and I want to welcome you to Grace to Your World. If this is your first time tuning in today, this ministry is all about providing you with practical biblical teaching that is to enable you to more fully lay hold of the victorious Christian life. We are in the midst of a series titled Living in the Finished Works. We've been talking about the finished works of Jesus Christ, and what I want to do today is really get into something that is so important. And that is to rest, to get to a place of rest, resting in the finished works, resting in the promises of God. This is not a physical rest that we're talking about. It's really a resting of the soul. It's really to get to a place where you have a peace of mind regardless of your circumstances and conditions. I want you to understand that the promises of God, which are yes and amen in Christ Jesus, are always obtained from a place of rest, from a place of peace. In fact, as I will show you from Scripture today, the evidence of belief is rest. In other words, when you really believe the Word of God, when you really believe this gospel of His unmerited favor, it will take you to a place of rest, to a place of peace. And so we'll get into that today. And of course, if you have not listened or watched the previous installments of this series, of course, they're available here at graceworldfellowship.org, also on the YouTube channel. And as always, you can download the free audios of these teachings at podomatic.com/graceworld and be blessed by the Word of God. Amen. And Father, as we get started today, Lord, we thank you for yet another privilege of getting to gather around your Word. Father, I thank you that your Word goes forth, it never returns void, it always yields a harvest of manifestation. And so we are expectant today, Lord. And I offer myself as a vehicle and as an instrument through which your will may be done, through which your word may be spoken. None of me, all of you, I pray. And Lord, I thank you that revelation knowledge will flow freely, uninterrupted and unhindered by any satanic or demonic force. And Lord, we give you all of the praise, we give you all of the honor and all of the glory. And it's in the mighty name of Jesus that we pray. And everybody said, Amen. And so, friends, if you are reading along today, turn with me to Romans chapter 12, verse 2. We'll get started there. And of course, if you're watching the video, the scriptures will be up on the screen as well. But I want to start today really with once again laying this foundation of renewing the mind. You see, the most important thing that you can do after getting born again is to renew your mind. Now, the renewing of the mind we define as replacing our thoughts with the thoughts of God, replacing our words with the Word of God. You see, this Christian life is really all about getting our beliefs to be straightened out, getting our thinking to align with the Word of God. Very often, religion tends to make it all about your actions. You know, it's about, you know, you better clean up your life. You better get your actions straightened out. But what I'm saying today is that it's really about getting our thinking straightened out. I want you to understand that you can't separate your actions from your beliefs. In other words, your actions in your day-to-day life will always reflect your beliefs, and your beliefs come out of your thoughts. Your beliefs are really just your dominant thoughts. In other words, if you think something long enough, eventually that thought, those thoughts will turn into a belief which will manifest itself in your actions. And so right believing leads to right living, wrong believing leads to wrong living. Let's look at what the Word of God says here in Romans 12:2, where he says, "And be not conformed to this world." And it's really talking about the thought system of this world. "But be ye transformed," or radically changed, "by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Now, what I want you to notice, first of all, is that there is a will of God for your life. No matter who you are, no matter what your history is, there is a will of God for your life, friend. And I want you to see here that this will of God is good, it is acceptable, it is perfect. Now, when the word says proving the will of God, that word proof really means to show forth, it really means to manifest, it really means to see it come to pass in your life. And so what he's saying is that if we want to see this good and perfect and acceptable will of God come to pass in our lives, we have to renew our mind. We have to make some adjustments in our thinking. Amen. Now he says, do not be conformed to this world or the thinking of this world. And I want you to really understand that the world's thought system and the thought system of the kingdom of God are at opposite ends. They oppose each other. And really what it comes down to is grace-based thinking versus works-based thinking. The thinking of the world, the thought system of the world is works-based, whereas the thought system of the kingdom is grace-based. And so what I want us to really understand today is the difference between these two ways of thinking. And works-based thinking is really, ultimately, comes down to the law. Works-based thinking is of the law. In other words, it's I do good and then I get good. And so when I try to apply this to my walk with the Lord, I will be under the impression that God blessing me is based on whether or not I have performed right. Amen. In other words, if I do well, God is going to bless me. But if I don't do well, he's not going to bless me. Amen. And so we want to understand that that is works-based. And grace-based thinking is to look to Jesus. Amen. Works-based thinking is the law. Grace-based thinking is Jesus. When we are thinking grace-based thoughts, we are really looking to Jesus. We're looking to his finished work on the cross. Praise God. We see Jesus as he comes into the world and he goes to the cross. He sheds his blood on the cross, and it's because of what Jesus has done for us. It's because of what Jesus has done that God is good to us. In other words, it has nothing to do with our actions. It has nothing to do with our performance. It's all because of what Jesus has done. And so works-based thinking, as I said, is something that the world is under. And, you know, to some degree, of course, it does have its place in the world. In other words, you know, a very simple example, you don't, you know, go to your employment, to your job, you know, and you're just going to show up and tell your boss, you know what, I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going to work. I'm just going to sit here because I'm under grace and I still expect you to pay me. You know, we all know that's not going to work out so well. And so in other words, you go to your place of employment and you provide a service. You do whatever your job is. And in response to that, you're going to get paid. Now, that is works-based, and in that context, that's, of course, you know, that's just how it is. That's okay. But I want you to understand that works-based thinking can never work with God. Why? Because the standards of God are too high. Because how are you going to live up to a God who is absolutely perfect, who is absolutely holy? Amen. And so in order for us to receive the goodness of God, we must look to Jesus. Praise God. It's because of Jesus that we have access to his unmerited favor. It's because of what the blood of Jesus has made available that we have access to blessings and goodness that we didn't earn, we didn't work for, we didn't deserve it. It's God being good to us, not because we were good. It is God being good to us. Catch this, friend, because God is good. And so we want to make this adjustment in our thinking so that our thinking becomes grace-based. And now I want you to understand that grace-based thinking and living by faith go hand in hand. In other words, in order to think grace-based thoughts, amen, we want to understand that we must absolutely be walking by faith. Come over with me to Romans chapter 4, and I want to look at the 16th verse, Romans 4:16, which really talks about how grace and faith go hand in hand. Here's what he says. He says, therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. And so in other words, in order for us to lay hold of the promises of God, in order for us to lay hold of everything that grace, that Jesus has made available, we must absolutely walk by faith. I want you to understand this truth, friend. I want you to understand this principle that grace makes available and faith takes possession. In other words, grace, through the blood of Jesus, has made healing available. Grace, through the finished works of Jesus, has made prosperity available. Grace, through the finished works of Jesus, has made supernatural protection available to you. But catch this, in order for you to see it come to pass in your life, you must receive it by faith. And so walking by faith is crucial. Now, what I want to do as we get further into this, I want to lay the groundwork a little bit more, establish the foundation a little bit more by really understanding what faith is as far as God is concerned. In other words, when we talk about the Word of God, we want to understand what God means when he talks about faith. Let's go over to Galatians chapter 3, I believe it's starting at verse 11, because I've mentioned before in these teachings, you know, that the world oftentimes will, you know, talk about things in a way that is kind of different than how they're, you know, in terms of what the biblical meaning is. You know, when people talk about faith, oftentimes people think that faith is merely just a belief in God, you know, that a belief in God is faith. But what I want you to show you, what I want to show you today here is that that is not the case. Check this out. Galatians chapter 3, starting at verse 11, it says this, "But that no man is justified," which means declared righteous, "by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith." Now notice verse 12, and he says, "And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them." The law is not of faith. Now, friend, this is huge. You know, when the Lord started speaking to me about this, it was just such a huge revelation. And I tell you why, because any person who is attempting to be justified by the law, and again, by the law, we're talking now about the law of Moses. In other words, it was to perfectly follow everything that God had commanded under that dispensation. And so anybody who is attempting to get right with God under the law, according to what the word says here, that person is not operating in faith. Now, somebody might say, well, Alex, doesn't the law require us to believe God? And the answer is yes. You see, if you're trying to follow the law of Moses, and I want to kind of qualify this real quick as well, because, you know, of course, most of us are not going to try to, you know, get right with God by, you know, sacrificing animals for our sins. I want you to notice this, that it is very tempting for a Christian to live under the law simply any time we try to get God to bless us based on what we have done. In other words, when I think that God is good to me because I was good, that's operating under the law. When I make a mistake, when I fall short, now I feel guilty and condemned, and I think, you know, God is not going to bless me, you know, because I didn't live up to what I was supposed to do, that is operating under the law. Now, the Bible is telling us here that the law is not of faith, that everybody who is attempting to be justified in their own self-effort is not operating in faith. And so what I want you to understand is that faith, the way God defines faith, is not to merely have a belief in God. And so what is faith? And I want you to understand today, friend, that faith is defined as completely trusting God, completely depending upon God for everything. Faith is to remove ourselves from the center of our lives, praise God, and to put Jesus at the center of our lives. In other words, faith is to not look at what I can do. Faith is to rely upon what he has already done. Let's go over to John, St. John chapter 6, and I want to show you this right here from Scripture, and all of this is kind of laying the foundation for what we're eventually going to get into, which is entering into the rest of God. But I really want to spend some time here laying the foundation. John chapter 6, verse 28 says this, "Then they said unto him, What shall we do that we might work the works of God?" In other words, what must we do in order to work the works of God? To do what God has called us to do in order to see the glory of God made manifest in our lives. What must we do? And check out verse 29. Jesus answered and said unto them, "This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent." And so, friend, the only thing that you are required to do is to believe on him whom he hath sent. Praise God. When Jesus was making this statement, which is recorded here in the Gospel of John, he was speaking prophetically. He was referring to them believing on him and everything that his finished works would make available, friend. And so God blessing you is not based on what you are doing in your own actions. It's based on whether or not you can believe on him in that area of your life. Now, to believe on Jesus is different than to merely believe in Jesus. To believe in Jesus is one thing, and that's good, but to believe on him, friend, it means that you are trusting him, that you are depending upon him. Praise God. It means that you know that you need him. It is you letting him know every single day, Jesus, I need you. Oh, Lord, I need to see your goodness in my life. Lord, I need you to show me what I should do in this certain area of my life. It is to rely completely upon him. Let's go over to the book of Proverbs, chapter 3. And we'll just get as far as we can get today in this installment with the podcast, and I'll just continue in the next episode, because like I said, I really want to take a lot of time here to really lay the foundation today before we get into entering into the rest of God. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 says, trust in the Lord. Praise God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. And verse 6 says, in all your ways acknowledge him. Friends, it said, in all of your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Believing on the Lord is to trust him no matter what. Believing on the Lord is to acknowledge him in all of your ways. And so no matter what it is that you are doing, going to your job, you acknowledge him. Thank you, Lord, that you're guiding and directing my steps, dealing with other areas of your life, maybe a health challenge. You acknowledge him in that area. You acknowledge the truth that his blood has made healing available. You acknowledge the truth that 1 Peter 2:24 says that by his stripes you have already been healed, and then you trust him in that area, friend. And so faith is to live in total and complete dependence upon Jesus. Praise God. Now somebody says, well, Alex, if the law can justify us in the eyes of God, then why was the law given? Why did the Lord make the law available under the old covenant? Now let's go over to Romans chapter 3, and it is verse 20. We're looking at verse 20. Romans 3 verse 20. I want you to understand the purpose behind the law, because, friend, the law was never intended to save anybody. Check this out. This is huge. It might be radical for some people, but check this out. Romans 3:20 says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. And now catch this. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. And so the law of Moses was never intended by God to get people to be justified in his sight. No, the law was added because of sin. The law was added because of the sinful nature of the people of Israel. You know, after Moses had freed them out of Egypt and they were wandering in the wilderness, it was because of their unbelief. It was because of their continual falling into sin that the law was added. Why? In order to magnify, praise God, in order to magnify the necessity of a Savior. Let's go back to Galatians. I want to show you another verse in regards to that. And we'll be ready to get into the meat of what we're talking about. Galatians chapter 3. And look at verse 19. Wherefore then serveth the law? In other words, what was the purpose of the law? If the law can't justify us in the sight of God, why was the law given? And he says it was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. And so I want you to understand, the law was given absolutely by God, but the law was never given in order to make a person righteous in the sight of God. And so we want to understand that what makes us right is this total and complete dependence upon Jesus, this total and complete leaning upon everything that Jesus has made available to us through his finished works. And so grace-based thinking is to look to Jesus. Grace-based thinking is to rest in this truth that because of what Jesus has done, I'm the righteousness of God. Because of what Jesus has done, all things that pertain to my life and godliness have been made available to me. And I lay hold of this now through faith. Amen. And so I pray that you are catching this. Now let's go over to the book of Hebrews and we will get into resting in the promises of God. We'll start it off today and then I'll continue next week. But Hebrews chapter 4, I really want to take some time to do kind of a line by line study of Hebrews chapter 4, which is all about entering into the rest of God. Now, Hebrews 4, let's get into this now. It says, verse 1 says this. He says, "Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it." Now, that word fear does not mean to be afraid. It means let us be watchful. Let us be on guard. Amen. And so let us be on guard, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, into God's rest, which is that peace of mind I was talking about, any of you should seem to come short of it. Verse 2 says, "For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them." Now this is talking about the people of Israel after Moses had freed them from slavery in Egypt. The gospel, which is the good news of God's favor, God's unmerited favor. It's really the almost too good to be true news. That's the gospel. It was preached to them. They heard the good news. But check out what it says. "But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it." And so, friend, I want you to notice this, that the word of God must absolutely be mixed with faith. As I said earlier, grace and faith go hand in hand. You can't really separate the two from one another. You know, in other words, they're really kind of like two sides of the same coin. Grace makes available, faith takes possession. And so in order for us to enter into the promise of the rest of God, in order for us to receive that rest in our soul, that peace in our soul, we must absolutely mix the word with faith. Now, I want you to understand the difference between hope and faith. This is crucial. You know, oftentimes Christians will operate in hope, and they will mistakenly believe that they're operating in faith. Now, hope and faith are not the same. They're both necessary, but they're not the same. Now, hope is in the future. In other words, when I'm hoping for something, I'm hoping, you know, that something will happen in the future. Faith, on the other hand, I want you to catch this, is always present tense. You know, we were saying that faith is really to completely trust and rely upon Jesus. Now, you can't really do that in the future. You know, you can't sit here and say, well, I'm going to trust Jesus tomorrow. Well, if you're going to trust him tomorrow, then you're not trusting him today. And so trying to put faith into the future really becomes unbelief. Praise God. And so faith is present tense. Faith is always now. Faith, catch this, faith is to look at the word of God and to accept the word of God as true no matter what. In other words, somebody might have gotten a bad doctor's report. Now your work would be to look at the verse that says that by his stripes you were healed, and then to say, praise God, thank you, Lord, that I was healed 2,000 years ago. Praise God, I thank you, Lord, that you've redeemed me from every sickness and from every plague. That is to operate in faith. Now somebody says, Alex, well, what about the sickness that's still in the body? Catch this now. Faith is to shift your attention away from the natural and is to look at the word. Faith is to shift your attention away from the body and to shift your attention to who you are in Christ. And who you are in Christ, friend, is already healed. Who you are in Christ, friend, is already prospered. Who you are in Christ, friend, is already victorious. And so you look to the word that says you were healed. You look to the word that says he supplies your every need, and you accept that as truth. That is to operate in faith. Now, you don't go around denying reality. You don't go around, you know, lying to people, saying, you know, that there's no sickness when there is. But you are saying, you know, praise God, there might be, you know, this disease in my body, but you know what, praise God, I believe that by the stripes of Jesus I am healed. Thank you, Lord, I believe that I am healed. You see, that is to operate in faith. Now, hope is, you know, the scripture talks about in Colossians 1:27 that Christ in us is the hope of glory. Now, the hope of glory is speaking about seeing his glory made manifest in our lives. And so the hope is to see the manifestation of what you believe you already have. And so faith and hope really go hand in hand. The Bible says that faith gives substance to our hope. Hope is in the future. You take that future hope and you make it a present day fact of faith by accepting that it is already true about you right now. And so the word has to be mixed with faith. Praise God. You see the word. You don't rely upon your own understanding. No, you look to Jesus, friend, and you thank him, and you say, well, thank you, Lord, because of your finished works, I can receive this word by faith, and I can receive that whatever the promises of God are in the word of God, that these apply to me, and that I already have these by faith. And so the word must be mixed with faith. Now, just, you know, to kind of go into this a little bit further, you know, that's how you got saved. That's how salvation works. You know, the Bible talks about the fact that we're saved by grace through faith. In other words, the grace of God has made salvation available through Jesus, but it is you accepting it by faith that enables it to become active in your life. Amen. So salvation has been made available to everybody, but why is everybody not saved? Because they have not all received it by faith. And so receiving the word, mixing the word with faith is crucial in order to enter into the rest of God. Now check out verse 3. He says this. He says, for we which have believed do enter into rest. As he said, I have sworn in my wrath, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. And so the works were finished from the foundation of the world, but I'll go into that in the next teaching. Today, I really want to focus on this first part of verse 3 now, which says, but we which have believed, praise God, we enter into rest. And so what is the evidence of your belief? It is rest. In other words, you hear the word that talks about healing. You hear the word that talks about provision. You hear the word that applies to any area of your life. And friend, how do you know if you are operating in faith with regards to that word? If you're operating in faith, there will come a rest. There will come a peace, a supernatural peace that will begin to take you over. Now, let's go over real quick here to verse 11. Now, I'll finish it off with this for today. Verse 11 says, let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. And so there's a labor involved to enter into rest. You know, it sounds paradoxical. You know, you're working to rest. But friend, what this is talking about is the labor of the soul. Now, the labor of the soul is to receive the word of God by faith. The labor of the soul is to be meditating the word. To meditate the word is to be mulling it over in your mind. It is to think about it. It is to consider it throughout the day. That is considered a laboring in your soul to enter into rest. You see, if you meditate the word for a certain period of time, you know, eventually, sooner or later, you will find that you'll have peace surrounding that area of your life. Again, it comes back to your thinking. You know, if you think the thoughts of the world and you're operating in worry, in fear, in doubt, that's not going to get you peace. But if you get your thoughts to align with the word of God, if you meditate that word, you meditate that promise of healing, you meditate that promise of prosperity, you meditate that promise of deliverance, praise God, sooner or later, there will be a peace that takes you over. And so, laboring in our soul to enter into that rest in our soul. And so, friend, I want to leave you with this today. There's much more that I want to go into, obviously, but we'll leave it at this for today, and I'll continue in the next installment. I just want to leave you with this now. Whatever is going on in your life, whatever you are believing God for, I want you to find the scripture that applies to your situation. Somebody says, Alex, how am I going to find that scripture? Friend, Fortunately, it's very easy these days in which we live in. You just go to Google, you just type it in, scriptures regarding healing, scriptures regarding provision, whatever the case may be, deliverance. You type it in and you find the scriptures that speak about your situation. And then you begin to meditate on those scriptures. You begin to contemplate those scriptures. You begin to think on those scriptures. Amen. You roll them over into your mind and you start to confess them by faith. You start to thank the Lord that these have already been given to you. And friend, as you do that, I guarantee you will begin to enter into a place of peace. You will begin to enter into a place of rest. And catch this, I'll be talking about this next time. When we are in a place of rest, that's really what enables God to work mighty miracles in our lives. God works when we are at a place of rest. When we're in a place of, self-effort and struggle, God is just going to sit back and let us do our own thing. But when we get into a place of rest, friend, that is when God begins to work in your life. That is when you begin to see, supernatural breakthroughs in your life. Resting. It's from a place of rest. Praise God. And so I pray that this has been a blessing to you today. I will, as I said, continue in the next teaching. You can download the free audio of these teachings, today's teaching, and all of the other previous teachings. You can download the free audio at podomatic.com/graceworld. If you're watching on the YouTube channel, I encourage you to hit that like button and share this message. Help us to get the word out there. Help us to multiply the word of God. Amen. And I'll leave it at that, like I said, for today, friends. And I pray this has been a blessing to you. And I look forward to speaking to you again very soon. Until next time, be blessed.